You're listening to Waveform, a show about music, discovery, and the technology that ties it all together in new and powerful ways. This program is brought to you by Wavelake, the easiest way to distribute and stream music using Bitcoin. Listen today at wavelake.com.
We're on. Happy December.
We're here.
Cool. We're already
end of the year,
waist deep into December.
I've been on a bit of a... Do you know who Diablo Cody is? She's a screenwriter.
Yeah, she wrote... what was that movie from like the early 2000s?
Juno. That's the one she's like most known for. Right. I haven't seen that in a long time, so I can't... I don't know what my opinion about it is because it's been so long.
I think it probably holds up.
I think maybe. All I know is like I've been getting into her later stuff recently. So have you seen Young Adult or Tully with Charlize Theron?
No.
So those are both Diablo Cody written movies. I just saw Tully. Like both of them are great. They're both great movies. She wrote Jennifer's Body. Do you know that one? It's with Megan Fox. It's kind of like a campy horror movie, which is also fun.
Megan Fox has a weird thumb.
What?
That's all I know about Megan Fox. Or I'm sorry, she has weird thumbs. Not just one weird thumb. Apparently she has two weird
thumbs.
In
the movie or in real life?
No, in real life. And I also have two weird thumbs. And so that's my connection to Megan Fox.
What's weird about him?
Go look it up.
I feel like I'm going to go into some dark internet.
It's a little bit of homework for people. This might be a trap. This might be a little Christmas trap.
Sounds like one.
Just Google Megan Fox's thumbs.
So the most recent movie written by Diablo Cody is Lisa Frankenstein, which is another kind of like campy teen horror movie. I thought it was great. I think like I don't know. I'm just like I saw that recently, and then I started going into the back catalog. I was like, oh, I love all this person's movies.
I'm sorry, but I just had to Google Megan Fox's thumbs. And there's the first thing that comes up is fans are noticing Megan Fox has a bizarre condition known as murderer's thumb. So this is real.
What does that mean, though?
She has murderer's thumb. Okay,
but
guys.
What is a murderer's thumb?
Well, I can tell you. A murderer's thumb is a term for a short, broad thumb with a fleshy tip and a short, broad thumbnail. It's also known as a, I'm not going to read that word, potter's thumb, royal thumb, toe thumb, or hammer thumb. So that's what I got. Look at this.
It's just like a...
Look at my weird little murderer's thumbs.
I wonder where that term came from.
Maybe you could strangle people just with your thumbs. That's how hammer-like they are. It's pretty freaky.
Anyway, those were all movie recommendations from me. All those movies I just listed. They're really good. They're good, like, entertaining movies. They're not, you know, artsy, you know, sort of things. But they're fun and they're thoughtful.
I've been watching really old Alfred Hitchcock movies.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I'm back on that kick.
Yeah.
When I was, like, 12 or 13, I got super into Hitchcock and I watched every movie. So I'm making my way. But, like, Vertigo and Rear Window, those are two of my favorite movies of all time. But the older ones,
without question,
the 30s and 40s and 50s. I mean, that dude goes back.
Yeah. Silent movies. His early stuff is silent.
Yeah. But like Rope, 39 Steps.
Yeah.
Dial In for Murder.
He's made two versions of The Man Who Knew Too Much. There's a silent version.
Yeah, that's how old this guy was.
There's a talky version with Jimmy Stewart.
There's a movie about him, too. Have you ever watched that? The like biopic on Alfred Hitchcock. He wasn't a
great
guy.
Is that with Anthony Hopkins?
I think
I've never seen it, but I think Anthony Hopkins plays him or someone like that plays him. He wasn't a good dude. That's what I hear.
No, he wasn't a good guy to Tippi Hedren. That's for sure.
Yes. I've heard those stories. I was deep into Hitchcock for a while. Apparently, like I've read stuff about, how abusive he was to his female leads in particular.
Yes.
And like there's stories about like apparently Is it Kim Novak? Yeah, in Vertigo. Yeah, Kim Novak, she's the lead in Vertigo.
Love Kim Novak.
Yeah, she's great in it, but apparently, like, she had a terrible experience making that movie. And, like, what's, you know, the twisted thing is people are like, oh, yeah, but that's why her performance is so great in it.
Right.
Which, you know, I don't know. I can't be the judge of that.
Who are we to say?
It is a great performance. It is a great performance. She's great in it. I mean, that's an incredible movie.
Yeah, I mean, there are a number of directors who have been accused of being pieces of shit for the sake of getting the ultimate performance from actors.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know.
Quentin Tarantino, I think, has been called out for that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so this is a movie podcast now. Let's talk about...
I'm fine with that.
What's your favorite Christmas movie? Since, you know, this is probably the last show of the year and we're in December.
Oh.
So the first second one, part of that question is, do you like eggnog?
No, I hate eggnog.
Thank God. I'm going to have to...
So eggnog is a thing where I feel like every 2 or 3 years, I'm like, maybe I would like it. And I get some, and then I immediately regret drinking it.
I want to hear from the eggnog freaks in the comments. Let's get those eggnog freaks talking in the comments.
I forget every time, though. It's like, doesn't it sound like a good drink? And
no.
It looks appealing?
No. Nothing about something about it sounds good. Nothing about it looks good. Eggy. Nothing about it smells good. You don't like... I think it's like buttermilk. It's like
I'm doing it now, like thinking, hey, if you cut it, if you cut some rum in it, it would probably be good.
Well, people do
I'm
that.
Doing it. I'm like thinking
people
right
do,
now,
do
like
that.
That sounds good to me.
So but you do. So what you're saying is you actually do like eggnog.
You
like
every
eggnog
time
in theory.
Yes, in theory. But every time I go through this. Okay, so to answer your question. So I don't know if this is my favorite. I guess it's the first thing I'm thinking of. So maybe it is now. This is like a recent favorite. It's a movie called... It's on Netflix only. It's called The Princess Switch. Have you seen this?
No, I'm not.
It's fantastic. So it's about like a Chicago baker and a princess in some fantasy European country.
Sounds like an Adam Sandler movie already.
And there's like a baking competition being hosted in this country. So this woman goes out to this imaginary country and runs into this princess. And they're like, oh my God, we look exactly like each other. And the princess is like, I want to know what it's like to be a normal person.
I'm sorry, this is your favorite Christmas movie?
Yes. I love Freaky Friday, The Parent Trap. Like, I love those kinds of movies. So that's this kind of movie. So they switch places, and of course, chaos
ensues. Yeah.
So I guess I'll just pick that one. What's yours?
I mean, I'm such a basic bee, but I gotta say, it's probably, I think it's just A Christmas Story. I don't know. It's
the,
just, you know,
the lampshade leg one.
Yeah, Fragile. Yeah.
And the, I don't know if I've seen that all the way through.
I'm sorry, ever. What?
I've never said, because it's on TV all the time.
Are you okay?
So I feel like I've only seen it, like, I've only seen scenes. I've never sat, like, from the beginning to the end.
Okay. Well, do that.
Like, why would I? I've seen
why
the
are you
whole
punishing
movie.
Your children?
I've seen the whole movie.
Why
just
are you not
in
sitting
parts.
Down with your children and watching this movie every year? What kind of father are you? Come on.
We do Muppet
that,
Christmas.
No wonder that dog is so needy. It's asking, it's begging you to watch A Christmas Story.
Oh, she doesn't care about the Christmas movies. We do like Muppet Christmas.
Okay, I love a Muppet movie, and I love a Muppet Christmas. We're actually going to watch that. My daughter has not seen that, and she just requested we watch that.
Yeah, that's a great one. And then White Christmas we usually watch, which I've grown to love. I love all the songs. And I love
I love all those old movies. I mean,
all
those don't
count
because those are
and the set design. It's just,
yeah, those are just incredible. But as far as just like a campy,
yeah, yeah, the Princess Switch, man, that is that's a great feel good switched personalities Christmas movie.
It sounds like a Hallmark movie.
It is.
Oh, it is.
But I love it.
Oh, it is.
Basically, yeah. It totally looks like a Hallmark movie. Yeah. Oh, okay. It's like glossy and kind of corny, you know.
Now I'm looking this up.
Okay. But I love it. I've seen it like four times. And like.
Sounds like something that was shot in Canada.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Toronto.
Like every other
Hallmark
movie.
It's definitely a. Yeah. I mean, it looks like, you know, you've seen Netflix movies. Made for Netflix movies.
Yes.
They have a
yes.
look. They have a look and a feel. It's not far off from a Hallmark movie or a Lifetime movie.
Oh, because the baker's from Chicago. So you got a little hometown yes. reference going on there. Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah. And then,
I'm looking this up now. Yeah.
Yeah, it's in Chicago. Doesn't look anything like Chicago. Anyway.
Right.
If anyone has seen this movie, I feel like this is an underrated Christmas gem.
I mean, Linda Holmes of NPR praised the movie's acting and called it pleasingly frothy and ridiculous. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, frothy.
Pleasingly frothy.
I've never heard of acting as described as frothy, but okay. It is ridiculous. It's campy. It's total. It's
also,
very.
The word frothy is kind of gross if you think comedy. About it. Frothy.
Yeah, I mean, for a beer, it's fine, but I don't know about
it. Is
acting.
It, though?
Anyway.
Is it fine in beer? Okay.
Let's, I like a frothy beer. What is the show about?
Well, we're gonna. It's the end of the year. We're gonna make this a music show. No one would know it. Though, you know,
let's
so
play
far,
a,
but
let's play a song now. How about that?
Let's play a song and then we'll
just to break.
And then we'll continue with whatever other bullshit train. We have to talk about. All right. So, do you want to start or do you want me to start? What do you
got? I got one. I got one that
right,
I think might fit. So. I don't know anything about this band. I think actually they're from Canada, so maybe it is fitting.
Are they frothy?
I guess depending on how you want to interpret that, maybe, yes.
Frothcore?
No. Anyway, I don't know much about them, but I really love this song. It's a band called Public Mess. Again, I think they're from Canada, if I remember their bio correctly. And the song is called Summer Don't Let Me Down. That was Public Mess with Summer Don't Let Me Down, a fitting song for the middle of winter.
A little frothy. A little bit of frothcore in there. All right, so I want to play a song. You can't be the only one playing jams here today.
Well, yeah, please, by all means.
We're sharing. So I'm going to... I discovered this one. You know, I like a lot of people on Wavelake. I like everybody on Wavelake. Thanks, everyone. But I'm getting some favorites. I'm not going to lie. I'm getting some favorites here. And I got a new favorite. I got a new favorite just entered into my favorites chamber. It's James M. Carson. And this is someone that Joe Martin, our friend Joe Martin, brought into the scene. And wow, Sky made this album. I don't know much about him either, but what I do know, I do think that he is not currently making music, and that's a shame because there's some really good stuff. So this is Calico by James M. Carson.
Jesus, I'm no good in a fight. We'll be right back.
How good is that song? It's so good. Also, Little Frothy. Just that's fantastic. That's the theme today. It's going to be frothy jams for the Christmas spirit. Okay, so what else do we need to talk about? Do we want to go through possibly our mailbag? Is that what
Let's
we call it?
Let's do it.
Do we call it a mailbag? I got it pulled up.
Okay.
We weren't prepared for mailbag.
I wasn't.
There's really not much, but... You know,
we're going to play the little bumper, of course.
Yes, of course. So here's our intro.
Give it a boost. Zap. Give it a boost.
Zap. Boost. Zap. Boost.
See if you've got any messages.
You've got those.
Boost.
I've heard of audience participation shows, but this is ridiculous.
Okay, and that was our intro. So we got a little bit. So we got, you know, this is on the last episode was with Daniel from PubKey.
As
you may recall. I don't know if you do recall because it was a little bit of a blur.
I recall
we had
now.
We had some technical issues there, but... I did manage to salvage that episode together, although we lost some really good stuff from Daniel. We'll have to have him back at some point in time. But Sarah Jade chimed in and said, I'm down for a V4V concert at PubKey. I think that would be cool. There have been a couple little ones, but over there at PubKey in New York, they're trying to figure out ways to do more. Tone Wrecker, shout out Tone Wrecker, who did our mailbag theme as well as our main theme. He says, in regards to AI-generated music appearing high up in the top 40, Wavelake may have a new demographic far larger than what any of us on the platform even realize. Consider that existing AI models may want to listen to other AI-created content while they go about their daily tasks prompted by endless human requests to zone out. Might have a new category emerge by AI for AI. Interesting.
I love this idea. I actually think that's a really intriguing... I mean... Tone Wrecker is
a
very much
AI music for AI. Yes, possibly.
Yeah. Well, I think also Tone Wrecker, he's very like machine oriented. You know, like he's got that band, Paul Birken and the Dirty Party Snakes. I hope I got that right. But it's like these imagined, like if it's like if robots and machines started a band. It's kind of like how I picture that. But he's also working with all these like synthesizers and things all the time. So I love the way he's thinking about this and this idea of like, I don't know, there being this sort of free market for just computer generated music and it like feeds off itself. I think that's a really interesting idea. I loved that when I saw that.
Yeah, it's very cool. Daniel left a little comment. He was quoting you. You must have said something very prolific. Let's find out what you said. He said, when it comes to people using Bitcoin for payments, I think we're still in a stage where it's almost altruistic. An altruist. I can't read. If it's you, I have to botch it, unfortunately. I'm sorry. Let me
no
start
worries.
Over. When it comes to people using Bitcoin for payments, I think we're still in a stage where it's almost an altruistic act. In some ways, it's like a protest vote. That was very prolific. That was a good statement from you. Good to highlight that one on Noster.
Thanks, Daniel.
It's really cool that one shows up in Fountain and doesn't show up in Wavelake. I see when I read the mailbag, I have to look in a few different places because we're still working out some kinks there.
Yeah, there's some incongruity.
Yeah, and then we got Taco, but with a K. Was that Taco? Taco? I don't know. I'm just doing my best here. He just says pressing buttons. So that's cool. You know, I don't know
pressing
what buttons. Pressing submit on a comment. That's for sure. There's no zap attached to this one. So he missed that button, but, thanks everybody. Oh, Nick from Fountain. I believe this is Nick from Fountain. Yeah. Nick from Fountain says, let's open a pub key in London. I think that's a good idea. I'd go.
That sounds cool.
They should open a pub key in London. Yeah. That'd be fun to have multiple pub keys. I suspect there might be multiple pub keys because they just changed their Twitter to be PubKey NYC, and now there's just a PubKey proper.
Yeah.
So maybe they got something cooking.
I think I heard something about there possibly being like franchises or other
really?
Locations.
That may be
some
insider
point.
Info that you're leaking.
Is it? Can you delete that?
No, I actually have no idea. So it's pure speculation.
I might be mixing it up with something else too. I don't know. But that makes sense that there would be more than one, possibly.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully. That's it.
So that's the mailbag.
That's the mailbag, people.
So one thing I want to talk about quickly before we play some more music.
Yeah.
And it has to do with Fountain. So we've mentioned a Fountain a few times in the past few minutes. Fountain did this, what do they call it? Takeover?
Artist takeover.
Thank you. Where they had artists come in and like essentially just DJ.
Yeah.
For cool. like an hour or two. Yeah, super cool idea. One artist in particular that really, like, the way that they did this really stood out to me. That's Nate Jonovan. Nate's got, like, 19 different bands. I think I might be actually, that was a joke, but it actually might be 19.
Yeah, somewhere around.
But he's got a bunch of bands. He's got a bunch of great music. He's, you know, been, like, active in the space for the better part of a year, if not more now. And I thought, like, what he did for his takeover was really interesting. He basically recorded a bunch of narrative interludes, like narrative segments, uploaded them to Wavelake, and then essentially played those in order and then played music in between. So essentially he created this radio program, this kind of biographical radio narrative program with music interspersed in it, and everything was distributed over RSS and was boostable, zappable through Fountain, through Wavelake. Like, I just thought it was the coolest thing because I come from a radio background. You and I have been talking about this for a long time about just like how great it would be if you could have more radio programs. I mean, this is one, right? This is a podcast. This is a radio show with music mixed in. But what Nate arguably. Did was like, we're being very liberal with the term show, I guess. But like, you know, we're recording this, we're patching it all together into a single file, and then it goes out and the splits are in the RSS feed, blah, 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 all that technical jargon. But what Nate did, what I thought was really cool about what Nate did was he took the existing tools and then essentially put together a program that worked on this standard. I don't know. I thought it was like really imaginative. I thought it was kind of eye-opening, and it was just cool to see someone like sort of doing these things using the tools available to him in a creative way to like enable this sort of greater thing. And then that program is now available as a playlist on Wavelake. So you can listen to his whole set as a playlist on Wavelake in the order it was intended to be listened to in.
Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, so if you follow Nate on Noster, he posted the link to the playlist. If you click through, it probably won't work.
It'll go to the site, but we'll fix the linking. But yeah,
we'll try to fix that before too many people click on it. But yeah, that's super cool. I love those takeovers. I try to participate in all of them, but there are a lot. I think there are more to come. I know of at least a couple more that are on the horizon. Want to play another song?
Yeah.
Or you want to keep talking about this?
One thing I just want to mention is like I think other people, if they want to try like putting together a program like this and then like compiling it into a playlist, it would be a really easy way to like create kind of like what we're doing here, but in a slightly different way that still worked. And like, I don't know, it might be a better way to do these kinds of music podcasts. I'm just putting that out there that like in playlist form, it achieves the exact same end result in a slightly different way. And then the way like splits and all that and boosts would be managed would be slightly different, but would still work.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't require like a fixed RSS feed to encapsulate all the data, all the, you know, the tracks that were embedded in the show, it could be, it'd be like distributed to everything that the playlist was referencing. I just think that's a really, I don't know, I think there's something there. So I wanted to mention that. All right. Music. You got another song?
Oh, me? Yeah. I would like to play. Okay, so we have a newish artist here, another new one in the last couple weeks. Theo Katzman, great artist from the band Wolfpack, and has some incredible music of his own. He recorded this entire album live, which is very cool. You can go watch a video of this song on YouTube that I'm about to play right now, and it will sync perfectly with what you hear on tape, because it is the same thing. So it's really cool. This song is called Be the Wheel. This guy's really great. Cool dude. Cool music. This whole album is just fantastic. So I suggest you go listen to the album. It's also called Be the Wheel. It's up there. And I'm going to play the song Be the Wheel right now. Here we go. Okay, so that was Be the Wheel by Theo Katzman. Wonderful song. I've listened to that, I don't even know, probably 20 times since he uploaded it, and I will continue to do so. It's at the top of my list right now. Jams I'm rocking out to.
Yeah. I watched that YouTube video. I never, I was like, I thought it I was, when I listened to the song, I'm like, oh, that sounds like a Rhodes or something. And then I saw the video. They've got like a blanket in the piano. It's like an upright piano, and they've got a blanket basically muting all the strings. And so it has this like Rhodes-y sound, but it's actually an acoustic piano.
Yeah. There's lots of cool stuff they do on that record with the instruments that they have. There are things you think are guitars or keyboards, things you think are keyboards or guitars or pianos. There's lots of cool things happening. So yeah, check out the record.
Super cool.
What do you got?
I got one. I don't know if this, I've lost track of when things show up on Wave Lake, but
it's getting hard.
Yeah. Did we mention we hit over 1,000 artists? We should mention that.
Probably not on the show. No, we're over. Yeah. We've crossed 1,000 active artists. I think Tone Wrecker in our Telegram said he's counted 1,200 on the catalog, but I think that might be, you know, as we mentioned, Nate has 19 artists profiles. So maybe some of that, you know, there are 1,200 something artists in the catalog.
There also might be artists who don't have any music on there. So like,
right.
Yeah. The way we count it, active artists is artists with at least one track.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
That's a huge deal.
It's a big milestone for us. So I'm really happy about that. Thanks to everyone who's joined us. And
I wonder who the 1,000th artist was. We should give them like a, you know,
I have no idea.
$25 gift card to a coffee shop or something.
We can find out. All right. So, back to, the song.
Yeah. What you got?
I don't know anything about this artist. I just think this is a really pretty song. This is Ben Rainier.
Okay.
It's a song called Over the Edge. It's off an album called The Cosmos.
Awesome. I've never heard this one.
Ben Rainier with a song called Over the Edge. That's featuring Dustin Christensen. Yeah, great song.
Great stuff. Now, this is Waveform episode... 17?
XX.
This is Waveform episode something. If you've made it this far, I hope you know that you should be boosting and zapping these songs while they're playing. But it's probably a good time to remind people, because we'll be playing a couple more. And if you haven't been zapping, go back and zap. But yeah, while these tracks are playing, you can pay these artists. And that's really cool, because then they'll see that, and they'll see, depending on, you know, where this is played, they'll see that it came from the show, and they'll probably see what client the person was listening from. All kinds of cool information comes in the activity there on Wavelake. So yeah, zap.
Do you want to talk about that quick? Do you want to talk about the updated?
Yeah, that's a great segue into this new. So we've talked about the OP3 analytics that we've added, but then you have taken that a step further and built out this cool little dashboard, as well as a more detailed analytics section with the OP3 stats. So now we have a monthly overview of top supporters, of top releases, just on your studio dashboard. So go check that out. Still need some work, but
We put a fresh coat of paint on it. It needed some work.
Yeah, like it's pulling. It's showing a lot of fountain supporters for me, because I've been featuring a couple of those takeovers, which is super cool. So I'm seeing a lot of that activity come through. And it's great. I see that I have an anonymous podcast guru user who is in one of my top five supporters. So that's really cool to see the different places it's coming from. And then if you click through to the analytics section, what happens?
Then you can see detailed download statistics about all your releases. So whether it's an album you have or a podcast you have, we do kind of a summary view. So it'll show you how many downloads over the last month, how many unique users downloaded your tracks, downloads over time, countries, like where the country breakdown. And what's the other one? There's a
download counts, countries, earnings. And then if you click through at the bottom right corner, it'll give you everything. It takes you straight to the OP3 page, and it'll just detail.
Yeah.
And we're going to take some of that stuff and probably integrate it.
We'll pull it in. Yeah. I think if there's a lot on that OP3 dashboard, so if there are things on that dashboard
that you want to see,
that you'd like to see, just let us know. We can pull that in. Just a little background on that. OP3 is essentially a data sharing service, just to give better visibility into podcast downloads. So this is, so if you have a podcast, you want to go out to an advertiser and sell, time on your podcast to an advertiser. OP3 is one of the organizations that's trying to create like a standardized way to collect and share that data. It's also publicly available, just so it becomes more transparent between like creators and then like ad sales, sort of, what the kinds of listenership you have on your podcast. But this, easily applies to music as well. I don't know where this goes in terms of like, I think it'd be great if artists could get sponsorship in the same way that podcasts do, like through something like this. Maybe that's a possibility now, or there's some other way that this can benefit artists. But anyway, we started sending data to OP3 in, I want to say, September. So there are just a few months of stats available at the moment, but obviously over time, we'll keep doing that. That'll grow and grow. It's all there now. There's historical data up to a point, and hopefully it just gives everyone better insight into their downloads and sort of where all this is going, so that they can understand it better.
Yeah, it's really cool. I can't wait to see how we can use this information, and other people can use this information for sure for new products that are sure to come up down the road. Cool. Do you want to play your last song?
Yeah, one more.
Yeah, what do you got?
So I love this song. I just think it's like an awesome song, and it's, I don't know how much like people heard it, so I kind of want to play it just because I want people to hear it. I don't think I played it on this show. I hope I didn't. But this is Robbie P. He's a rapper, I think, from Australia.
Yep, familiar.
He did this collab with Real Richard and the character called Radioactive Bitcoin Hope. And I think it's just
dig it.
Awesome. So let's listen to this one from Robbie P, Radioactive Bitcoin Hope.
Trash for a hard drive, heading to El Salvador for the halftime. If the plane crashed, at least it's not the markets. I remember 12 words from my past life. I'm like Walton when he fucks. G-spot, order-filled, hoping you're in my cup. Fucks this on the internet, type in all caps. I'll sell my diamond hand so I can buy some more sats. Forget notes, stack assets on some tall racks. If bears hibernate, I'm calling that a long nap. What the hash rate foretells, but small dick energy, DNA short cells. South for Sydney for the orange pill. Robbie P, Doof Nights, Richard on the bill. Get your hazmats, don't be passive, cause we just made toxic maxis. Ready your ass.
The Bitcoin maximalists, they're the most evil people.
We got that orange coin, purple text, fiat maxis, disrespected sovereignty of individual. Lots of bleeding, not subliminal. Time, this is the criminal, but I'm digressing. Operate on block time with 10-minute intervals. We be flexing, hatch rate at an all-time high. Can't be stressing, emitting freedom dioxide. We finessing as we opt out and we exit. We step SL, we stacking our satoshis. Grow that bundle, hold it closely as incompetence encroaches and it's grossly mismanaged. We sidestep the damage with a shield that's been established since the genesis, a.k.a. the nemesis, the central planners all trying to cope with the reality of a paper Nakamoto rope. Nakamoto rope. Nakamoto rope.
Nakamoto rope.
Nakamoto rope. Nakamoto rope. Just 9 pages to inspire and it's still a little.
Plan for the future, practice the Kama Sutra, master pickleball, kiss on my baby pupusa, ain't hitting them all, I'm still stacking like I'm new to, the revolution, from Rump Wall Street make them losers, digital promised land, over here there ain't no rulers, Martin had a dream, cold storage made it cooler, discrimination free, democracy to all the users, you could even be an alien or a computer, unity in thought, consensus to follow, we saw them go insane cause they tried to tweak the motto, it can't be done better, that's the orange pill to swallow. Bitcoin gon' float. Ain't made out of cold. This boat made out of hope.
All right, that was Robbie P with Radioactive Bitcoin Hope featuring Richard Real and the character.
That was
quite, I don't know.
That was quite radioactive, I must say.
I love it that those three connected and did this.
Wait, is it Richard Real or is it Real Richard? Do we have two?
I think it's the same person.
Okay.
But he goes by Real Richard or Richard Real.
And sometimes just Richard.
Sometimes just Richard. But yeah, I don't know. That's just a great song. And it has an awesome music video. I should
mention. Oh, really?
It's an animated one. It's
okay. Cool.
Super cool.
I'm going to have to check that out.
All right, we got time for one more.
Yeah, so I'm going to close this out with a real frothy banger. Here we got, this dude, I've played every song from this guy, so I can't stop now. This is, Martin Grooms. I've got to know Martin Grooms and talk to him quite a bit. He's become one of my buds. The song is awesome. I think it's an oldie from what I recall. I think, kind of dug deep. I wish I
went into the back catalog.
Sometimes I wish I could talk. Yeah, he went into the back catalog and pulled this one out. And man, I wish my old kind of like demos sounded this great. This is so, so killer. So this is Bliss from Martin Grooms. And we will see you when we see you.
Should I be? Well, I couldn't tell you, I just know I'm free from the daily confusion, the false hope, delusions, and I don't care. The day. Well, I couldn't tell you, but it's far away. With the harsh imperfection, the judgment and rejection, and I don't care.
You've been listening to Waveform, brought to you by WaveLake. WaveLake is a platform for artists to share their music beyond paywalls, and where fans can pay whatever they want using Bitcoin. Artists retain all the rights to their work and receive payments instantly via the Lightning Network. Find out more at wavelake.com. Waveform is produced by Sam Means and Michael Ree. Theme by Paul Birkin. I'm D++. Thanks for listening.